sure we want our little girls to be able to have.
Testa's work ethic in there. Yeah. Because yeah. Landscape's not easy work.
No, not at all, man. Yeah. So what, so the fitness thing. So like, why do you think that that's so, why has that been such an integral piece of your life?
Well, I think it all stems back to sports, right? Okay. So sports, obviously, you have the team background. Sports just teach you so much about life in general.
I agree.
Right? I mean, not that every kid has to do sports, but it just teaches you so much about life. Like, there's certain sports where, yes, it's only you, which I did both of those. So I was a golfer. I played basketball. I played baseball.
Well, so we'll have to go golfing sometime, man. Oh, yeah. You're probably going to kick my ass, but, you know, we can at least, you know.
It's fun to go out there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's all about that. Like, there's the mental aspect of golf. Like,
yep.
The only person you're fighting against out there is yourself. You can play as good as you play. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. You're fighting against yourself. But then you have the team aspect of it, right? So there's the baseball. There's the basketball. You have to coordinate that. It's not always going to be perfect. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be things in the road. But it's all about that determination, that dedication to better yourself. And I think that just transfers right over into life, right? So that way.
Yeah.
Because that's what you have to do in life. You have to persevere. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be adversity you have to fight through. There's all those things that you have in life. So how I got into the fitness aspect of it was, okay, I was pretty competitive as a high school athlete. Where do I go from here?
Yeah.
My senior year, there's a CrossFit gym in Tiffin. The owners they were the track coach at Seneca East, and he's the athletic trainer.
Okay, there. Yeah, so nice.
I'd go in there after basketball was done. I was playing baseball, but they're like, into the CrossFit world, and I was like, hey, what's this all about? So I started doing a few workouts in there and just fell in love with it.
So you still do CrossFit today?
Somewhat. Marginally? Somewhat, yeah. I mean, having two kids at home and then working 6 days a week, it
makes it hard.
If I don't get up in the morning to get to work out, it just doesn't happen that day.
Yeah.
I mean, so you gotta make time for your family at the end of the day. But
yeah. So you got two boys.
Yep.
And then we got a baby on the way, right?
Baby on the way.
And even if you haven't told the world yet, this one doesn't launch for, you know, a month. So you're safe. Okay, cool. So I just wanted to make sure, you know, I didn't want to exploit you. Do we know if that's a boy or girl yet?
No.
Okay.
Got a few more weeks to find out.
Okay. Because my wife and I, we got a little girl in May, or coming in May, and she did the blood work. So then we were able to tell pretty quick. So that was nice, you know. Yeah. I'm a big man. Like, I want to know right now. Like, when I want something, I want it right now.
Sure.
You know. So I was just curious if you guys knew yet, you know.
Yeah, we'll just wait for the ultrasound.
Yeah.
Super. Yeah, I think you can do the blood test at like 13 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, it was right around 10 or 11 weeks, something like that. I don't remember, but you know.
You're going to have to wait another how many weeks to see the baby anyway. I was like, what's in that?
This is number three for you guys, too.
So. I'm more one of the surprise anyway, but she's like, she's the planner. She's got all that stuff figured out. I just kind of fly around.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm the same way, man. I'm very fly by the seat of my pants. My wife wants to know the inner, like, I think, you know, if you have that personality like that, you need that person to counterbalance you. And that's probably why your guys' relationship has worked.
She's the organizer.
Yeah. Because you're probably not. You're probably like me, man, where, like, your car's a mess and, like, you know, you've never been that guy.
I wouldn't say car's a mess. It's just, like, scheduling-wise. Like, she's like, we're going to do this day, this, that day.
And you're, hey, whatever.
She's got all that stuff figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool, man. So what would you say, like, is your secret to, what's the secret sauce to, like, balance and all? Because, I mean, you work 6 days a week, you run. So are you, how the chiropractic office, is that yours or the joint venture? How's that work? So I'm just curious, you know, so on that aspect.
Two different offices.
Oh, nice.
I have one in Norwalk and I have one in Sandusky.
Okay.
The one in Sandusky, I started out as an associate in 2020, graduated in March 2020. Unfortunately, it was right, like, 2 weeks before
COVID smacked.
They were like, yeah, we're not having a graduation.
Oh, really? So all that freaking work for them to be like, yeah, no. You know, that sucks, man.
Yeah, so I didn't have a graduation in the sense of we got to walk across the stage, but I did get my piece of paper.
Very expensive piece of paper.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No, the chiropractic office, you said March.
Oh, yeah. So March of 2020, graduated, and then worked there for a full year. He wanted to hire me back on, right? So I was an associate there for about a year and a half. And then it was like March, May of 2021. I was like, I want to do a little bit of something on my own.
Yeah.
We had a 10-mile non-compete. And I was like, hey, can I open up an office, like, inside of a gym in Norwalk?
He's like,
I don't care. So that's kind of what we did. So I do Tuesdays a week there, Tuesdays, Saturdays. I mean, it started off slow. I didn't do any marketing. I just kind of did
word all organic.
Mouth.
Yeah.
All organic. Yeah. Like I said, all organic, all word of mouth. And that way I know exactly where they came from when they came in, and they already have an idea of kind of what I do. Right. So in that office, like in the office in Sandusky, I'm the chiropractor, right? I do maybe a few exercises with them, but we have a physical therapy department. We have a nurse practitioner.
Yep.
We're an integrated clinic. So I kind of focus on doing the chiropractic work. I leave the physical therapy up to the physical therapy.
Of course.
Where in Norwalk, like they come in, they say, this hurts, that hurts. I can do dry needling. I can do whatever. I can do the exercises all with them. I have the knowledge. It's just, that's a long story for insurance purposes.
Yeah.
Insurance only allow me to bill certain things versus the physical therapist to bill certain things. Whereas if it's just cash,
it's just and money's money, man.
Flat rate, I can do whatever is under my scope. You know what I mean?
No.
So then in the last year of, we were planning to buy out, me and the physical therapist were going to buy out the office. We're going to buy 50% from the owner. That was supposed to be June of 2024.
Okay. Right?
So this year, different circumstances arise. We were ready to buy it last year. So as of August 2023, the physical therapist and I own half of the business. So we each bought 24.5%.
Nice, man.
Business. So I own a portion of that one. I have the one in Norwalk, and yeah.
So you got the entrepreneurial bug and being a doctor, and that's you know.
Well, in the chiropractic world, you have to. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be an entrepreneur. There's no avenue to just go get your residency and go and do the doctor, right?
Yeah.
Once you graduate,
you gotta have a practice.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That's so I did want to bring it. So like, I'll be honest with you, man, like, and you've kind of started to change my mind in a few conversations we've had. I'm a skeptic, right, of the chiropractor thing, because like, and you probably know of this, this practice with your field where they'll like do the lunch and learns and like, hey, we're gonna tell you everything's wrong, and we want to put you on a plan for you to continue to come back every 2 weeks. And that just sounds shady, right? Like that just, to me as the consumer, I'm like, that just doesn't sound right. Like it should be something, if it's wrong, fix it. And then if I need to come back for a checkup, like that's one thing, but don't put me on a plan to like half-ass fix it. You know, is that something you guys see in your world pretty often?
You do. And there's a lot of philosophy that goes in involved with it. Right now, I'm more of a guy, like you said, I'm more of a, when there's a problem, fix it. Right. Is there certain things that take longer to fix?
Of course.
Absolutely. Just like in your line of work, there's groups that need a total replacement, or we just need to fix this little section.
Yep, exactly.
Sometimes you go in there, you fix that section, they're good to go. Well, sometimes they have neck pain, they have back pain, they were in a car accident, they shattered their knee when they were playing rugby in high school. You know what I mean? So there's all those differentiating factors that go into it to building it back up. So I guess to answer your question, do we do a treatment plan in our office? The typical kind you're talking about? No, not necessarily. Are we going to see people sometimes 8, 10, 12 times?
Yeah.
We might need to do that, right? Because it just takes that long.
So I guess where I was going with that, like I read in the show notes, you know, that you want to combat the skepticism with that surrounds the industry. Is that like a common, like, is that one of the most common ones that you guys get? You know, that it's kind of a...
So that, you get that one, you get the people that they're afraid, you get the people that they're scared that it's going to hurt. Right?
Okay.
The way I was taught, my owner, my boss, the way he taught me, he's like, people are scared of two things, right? The unknown and suffering, right?
Yeah.
There's both of them when you come into a chiropractic office, right? They have no idea what to expect, so it's the unknown. They're already in pain.
Yep.
They don't want to hurt worse. They're afraid it's going to hurt worse. So we kind of have to combat that, right? So how you combat that is you say, well, we're not going to make anything worse by adjusting, right? If you do it right, you're not going to make anything worse.
As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That's why we went to school for 7 years. Right? So we can figure out when not to adjust.
Yes, right? Of course.
The easy part is teaching someone how to adjust, right? If I had 4 months, 4, 5, 6 months with you, I could teach you how to adjust. It's the other 3.5 years that you go to school. It's okay, when should I adjust and why shouldn't I adjust? And what are the precautions I need to take to say, okay, this is an okay situation for me to adjust if I do it in this way, right? If there's red flags, right?
Of course.
Thrown up, they're having severe migraines. It's the worst headache they've ever had in their life. They have high blood pressure. They're, you know what I mean? Those things are like, okay, we're not going to adjust
let's,
you today.
Let's
we're
pump
gonna,
the brakes here. Yep.
We're going to do a proper testing. If they have high blood pressure, right? Well, they probably need to either see their cardiologist or give them a minute. Sometimes, I mean, people get nervous.
Stressed out, yep.
Their blood pressure elevates, right? Or they say, okay, I've had the worst headache I've ever had in my life. Half of their face is drooping down. It's like, maybe I have a little bit of a stroke.
Yeah, something else is going on.
Definitely not
going
to adjust in those scenarios.
Of course.
So the biggest misconceptions, I guess, would be like, that's one of them. It's, you're going to cause a stroke, right, if you adjust your neck. Well, if you do all the due diligence, you're not going to.
Yeah, it's just checking all the boxes and making sure that everything's actually okay instead of just jumping in and...
Yeah,
and
I mean, the statistics are like 1 in 2.5 million.
It's crazy.
Right? But that's like the biggest, that's the biggest pushback we get. And it's bringing up statistics and things like that. There's actually just almost as many strokes after going to a hair salon as there are going to a chiropractic office.
It's just mainly association.
Why is that? It's because the stroke has kind of already happened. The artery's already almost kind of dissecting when you get in there. It's just we're kind of going in there, we're moving it a little bit. Just like if you were to go into the hair salon, you put, well, you would know. You got, you got the flowing
box. Thanks, man.
You put your neck on that, right? And
okay.
You turn it and you just occlude the blood flow and then they leave, they go home. But
that's crazy.
We're usually always the ones that get the bad rap.
Yeah, you're not, nobody's suing hair salons over freaking, you know, strokes. no, that's cool, man. I just wanted to make sure we hit on that because it's something you were passionate, you know, about, is making sure that we did drive that home. And full disclosure, man, I was a three-sport athlete. I coached wrestling for 10 or 11 years. I've been in the trades my entire life. I've never been a chiropractor. Like I never have seen the need to, right? Sure. But like, I probably should go get checked out. Like I live right there in Norwalk, and we need to talk after the show and figure that out, right? You know,
absolutely.
And cash is right up my alley because I don't have health insurance. So,
we have the financial advisor in our group, right?
So yeah.
I kind of always look at this, or look at fitness, or look at that health as like you're investing in your own life, right?
Yeah.
We only get one spine. We only get one body. We only get one set of teeth, right?
Yeah.
Dentists have a very good. They're very good at marketing their thing, right?
You know,
they got one set of teeth, you got to take care of them. We only have one spine, too. You should take care of that. Right?
Yeah, no, that's good, man.
Yeah, so...
Cool. Well, can we shift a little bit back into the personal life? Is that fair?
Sure.
Cool, man. Sure. So, I did read something super interesting, and I just want to kind of, like, navigate through it a little bit if we can. You said in the show notes that you lost your mom when you were 17. I'm super sorry to hear that, man. Like, that's terrible for any kid. How do you think that shaped you through, like, how did you navigate through that as a 17-year-old kid, man? Like, what, because there's somebody out there that's dealing with loss at a young age, and especially a magnitude loss like that, right? Like, we've all lost grandparents at a young age, and that's not, I'm not discrediting that. That's not tragic, but man, like, you losing a parent at a prime developmental age is super tender. So like, how did that affect you, and how did you navigate it?
So I have four siblings, right? I was kind of, I mean, I'm the middle, I'm the fourth.
Okay.
Five.
Okay.
So I have a younger sister, 6 years younger than me. So how I kind of navigated through that was, I was more of like the baby. So after I was born, she didn't work anymore. So I was with her the most, I guess you could say. So after losing her, right, it was like, okay, she kind of took care. I mean, obviously she took care of me my whole life.
Yeah.
But I was with her the most. So I don't know. I haven't had that conversation with my other siblings, but I feel like it kind of hit me the hardest because
yeah.
I was with her the most.
Yeah, you got the most time. It was the biggest loss for
yeah.
you. And not saying that their loss was insignificant.
Yeah, so, like, navigating through that, it was like, she did everything for me. Did laundry, did all this. I mean, she would
go. You were 17, man, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like.
But I'm not saying that your mom didn't do more, but, like.
She did everything for me. Like, I would consider myself more on the lazy side.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
Yeah, she did it all. So, after that, my dad's a farmer. He also, he's a forklift mechanic, so he worked a 40-hour job, and then we had a family farm, right? So he just had stuff he had to do, right? So after my mom passed away, I was like, well, I guess I got to figure it out, and I got to learn how to do all this stuff. So, yes, it's very hard. Like, I'd still love to have her here, have her meet my children.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate aspect is that's not going to happen. But did it help me grow as a person?
Do you think it made you grow faster by necessity? Yeah.
You don't have an option.
Yeah, no, that's
terrible. You don't have an option. I mean, you talk about adversity through life. I mean, you just don't have that option anymore. Like, you don't have that support of that immediate family member there all the time. So that's kind of how I navigated through it. Now, obviously, like, my wife was there. Well, she was my wife.
Yeah, you guys were, but you guys were still dating.
Together.
Yeah.
She was there through that whole thing. I mean, I have my mother-in-law now. Like,
she stepped up a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had the support system around me. Obviously, it's not the same, but
Yeah.
I mean, I had that support system around me. So it was, it's, like I said, it's definitely challenging to navigate through. And I mean, yeah, like she wasn't there for the sporting events. She wasn't there.
Yeah.
The big things that weren't there anymore. You know what I mean? So.
No, man, that stinks, man. Like, I just wanted to make sure that I brought it up just because I think that it's, we all go through loss. And like, when I'm here and I'm talking to my team, or I'm just talking to people in general, like, I struggle sometimes personally with, I'll let you get one out, but like, we've all had bad stuff happen to us, right? And then like, you took that, and I'm sure at the moment it was probably not this way, but like now it probably helped you shape your perspective of like, it is what it is. It's part of life now, and I've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I don't ever mean to be like harsh, like I'll love on you in the moment, but like, don't drag it out a year from now and go, hey, remember that? It's like, no, man, like, we all have bad stuff happen to us, you know?
Bad stuff, and the reality of it is, like, in my situation, like, would she want me to just mope around the rest of my life?
Yeah.
No, they're going to want you to go do that. And they're going to want you to pursue what you want to pursue.
Yeah.
She always wanted a doctor in the family. I was able to do that.
Yeah. Herself. And she's super proud of you, man. I know she is. Sure. You know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, I'm very staunch in my faith, and I know she's looking down on you, smiling and hanging out with way cooler people than us, you know, and all that good stuff. So that's,
yeah, I mean, it was a long battle for her. So like, it wasn't like it came out of the blue necessarily. For
okay.
Us.
I mean,
she
okay.
had some health issues. Like she was born with scoliosis. She had pretty big scoliosis. I mean, probably 50 degrees. So like,
yeah, that's pretty nasty. Yeah. Back.
When I was in fifth grade is when she first developed breast cancer. So that, I mean, you're already at a very young age. Right?
Yeah.
And then you learn like, okay, I don't even really.
We're explaining you the magnitude of this.
What's really going on yet at this point in life, right? So I had a mastectomy, came back again on the other side, then had the double. And then she was kind of in remission for 5, 6, 7 years. And then again, my junior year is when it came back again. It was in the bone. It was in the lymph. It was like, did chemo, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Do what you can.
Downhill, had one bout in the hospital where then caught pneumonia and then came home, and then 2 weeks later she was gone.
Man, that's terrible. That's the one thing, like, this, what cancer is just horrible, man. Like, to watch somebody go, you know, and just, that sucks. Like, I can relate. I've lost 3 grandparents to cancer, and like, just watching them go from a version of themselves that, and just, it just drains them, man. It's the worst, nastiest disease that there is. Do you think that is part of like why you're so focused on health in general? Cause obviously those are formative years when you find out your mom has this nasty thing that, really there's nothing, you can do some stuff to prevent it, but you watch the healthiest people in the freaking world, you know, get it. But as a kid, man, you don't realize that,
yeah,
right? As a kid, you're like, no, that thing's nasty. I don't want it. Like, how do I prevent it? You know, so I'm sure that helps shape your life, yeah, in that way.
I mean, not that she was unhealthy, but I mean, at one point in time, was she a little overweight? Yeah, she was. So like, I see myself like, how am I going to be able to prolong my life as the most optimal way? I think that kind of helped shape like why I got into chiropractic, because I was able to see how much my uncle was able to help her through those periods of time where, I mean, she was in quite a bit of pain at some points in time, especially with the low back, I mean, with the scoliosis,
yeah.
It's going to mess with the hips, it's going to mess with how you walk, it's going to mess with how you move. Yeah, that on top of having 5 kids to take care of, obviously it's a pretty stressful life. So you gotta find those avenues to help get rid of that stress, right? For me, fitness is one of those things where you go into the gym, and especially in a CrossFit workout, right? I mean, you might be doing a workout for 5 to 10, 15, 20 minutes. But in that 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, I can't focus about, like, Logan, you know what I mean? Like, you can't focus about your kid on that point in time. Not that you don't love them, but I've got to make sure I get myself under this clean so it doesn't fall on my toe or fall.
I can't be thinking about nothing else, yeah.
You can only focus on that one thing. And I think that's the navigation that we need to go through, not only as myself, but as a society,
yeah,
we all need to have that one thing to focus on. We look at social media, we see everybody else doing these other things, but your mind's racing. You need to focus and dial it in on one thing to kind of clear your mind.
No, exactly. Like, hone it in, and then all the other aspects can benefit, right? Is the whole thing. Yeah. Do you think that was like, so like, I want to walk back here a little bit just because we're on this topic. Did you, is that when you started like your CrossFit journey? Was like right after your mom passed?
Very close.
Yeah. So that was something you really, I mean, because think about it, 6 months after. It's always the triggers, right? Like there's a trigger for it, and like that was your way of healing. So that's why you probably are so passionate about making sure that, you know, because that was your way of. And it's crazy, man. Like how, you know, everybody likes to bitch about, oh, you know, we just had the Super Bowl this weekend. Oh, football this, football that. But like, it's a moment in time when I can sit down for 4 hours on a Sunday and just enjoy watching the Cleveland Browns lose, right? You know, so like, but you can, it's the same way with personal fitness. Like when I go to the gym and I get my hour in, it's that, right? Like I can blow off the steam. Like it sounds cliche, but there is that moment. And you were able to figure that out, unfortunately, through a really, really bad thing that, hey man, this, on top of that, you were an athlete anyways, right? But like, hey man, I'm just going to lean into this thing and I'm going to grind this out. Like this is going to be, I'm going to sweat it out. And eventually it's not going to take away the pain, but it's going to numb it. You know, one of the best illustrations, and you kind of hinted on it, that I've ever heard of in the way of grief is it's a ball in a box and there's a button in the box, right? And the ball's bouncing around. In the beginning, the ball's really big and it's hitting that button a lot, right? But as time goes on, because people are like, oh, it'll go away. Well, it never goes away. As time goes on, that ball gets smaller and then, like, you'll be doing something random and it'll hit that freaking button and you'll be like, man, I really, for me, it's my grandpa. That's one that I just continually go back to. But for you, it's your mom, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I just really miss mom today. I really wish, you know, and it just, but if you're able to have a trip, something else to mask or to help with that, not mask it, because we should feel those emotions. That's what it frustrates me as men, you know, when they're like, dude, be strong, be man. Like, dude, cry sometimes. It's okay. Why do we put that stigma? Why do we, you know, manly men, like, dude, just, I cry at least once a month. You know, I'm going to be a big crybaby when this little girl comes, dude. Like, I'm just, I told my wife that 100%. Like, it might not be when she comes out, but, like, I'll have moments where I'll just go in a room, I'm sure. Yeah. And just, you know, I mean, I'm sure you do that with your kids, man. You seem like you're in touch with your emotions. You know?
So, I would say more now, like, after having kids than any point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it'd be tough for your, you know, your wife and, oh, man, you know. So, yeah. But cool, man. That's, I really appreciate you sharing that with me. The other thing that I read in the show notes was the 12, you know, you're trying to read 12 books this year. Or you're going to read, never put try in front of anything. You're going to read. Yeah. That Yoda quote when people are like, do or do not, there is no try. I'm like, that shit never made sense to me in high school. Like people would say it, and I'm like, dude, I don't like Star Wars. But now that I have heard it and put it, I'm like, yeah, there is no try. Like you're either doing it or you're not. So you're going to read 12 books this year. What motivated you to do that, man?
Year 2022. I don't know if you're, I think Allie went through this too as the leadership, Erie County.
Okay.
So like kind of how I got into that was the John Maxwell book Leadership.
Oh yeah.
The book that they read to.
I'm Maxwell Leadership certified. I've actually met John a few times.
Yeah. So that was the book that kind of like sparked my, like, I don't know, I guess self-help, like stuff like that. So, and then I've always really read nonfiction books just because that's my line of work.
I'm the same way, man.
I do anatomy. So it's more nonfiction. I'm not really a fiction guy, right? So what sparked that was, well, I kind of got away from it after that book, right? I really liked what it did for me. I don't necessarily like social media. You don't really get anything out of it, right? So I was like, well, what can I do to like better myself? Not only learn that, but better myself as a person. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's kind of what I'm navigating through for that, but mostly like that type of book. I do have some like health wellness books in there too, but mostly that side.
Self-development, self-leadership type of stuff. Yeah. For me, so I did 78 books in 22. I did not do 78 books last year. But I'm a big Audible guy because I drive a lot. So like I'll throw an Audible on. There's a few, man, that I was like, this is horrible. But like for the most part, like all the self-help stuff, it starts to get redundant after a while. What I like about Dr. John Maxwell's stuff is like it's like one I can recommend for you, 6 Unrefutable Laws of Communication, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
Like if you want to do public speaking, like that's the Bible for public speaking now. Like John is just a powerhouse, man. Like I've seen him speak probably 7 or 8 times now. Mm-hmm. And, we've done some private events with him and stuff, but Yeah, so that's something that I always like to throw out there. If you need any book recommendations, man, like I can tell you what's good, what's not good.
What I really like too. Do you know who Corey Gregory is? He's he's a kind of fitness guy.
Okay.
So he opened a gym in Pataskala, Ohio. Mainly bodybuilding style stuff. So I got as I was in school in chiropractic school, I navigated a little bit away from just CrossFit style.
Yeah.
Just explore something different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta, it's like, everybody, you gotta switch it up, right?
Not everybody in life does CrossFit, so I feel like the more tools you have in your tool belt, the more accessible I am to everyone else, right? So one of the books that he really liked, because his thing was, he instead of doing like running or doing things like sprinting like that, he did lunges for cardio. So he would do like 400 or 800 steps or meters of lunges as his cardio. And while he would do that, he'd just throw on a podcast, he'd throw on whatever, but he called it Lunge and Learn. That's what he called it.
That's awesome.
So, like, I did 35 days in a row at one point in time where I was just doing 400 meters of lunges every day, and I would throw on a podcast or whatever. But one of the books that he turned me on to was the Wisdom of Andrew Carnegie as told by Napoleon Hill.
Yep.
And he's got the, I think it's 26 principles of life, but the first one is, what's your definiteness of purpose, right? So basically, that's your why. Like, why do you do what you do? What's your definiteness of purpose?
If it's not defined, then it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So if you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it, then what's the point of doing it?
Exactly.
And then it kind of all goes from there. He's got all those principles in there. And
that
was a great book.
That's like the GOAT one that everybody goes back to. Like, nobody thinks about it because it's like what everything else stems off of. But like, everything's compact into that book.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got like Mastermind was one of those things. Like, a lot of people have Mastermind groups. Yep. I mean, that's
yeah, I'm in a few Masterminds.
They all stem from that one book.
No, 100%, man. It is. Have you read, so you're a big sports guy. I'm actually not a big basketball guy. I coach wrestling for, I wrestled and then I coach wrestling for 8 or 9, 10, 11 years, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Tim Grover's books. Mm-hmm. So that, he was Michael Jordan's personal trainer. Entire career.
Yeah.
Relentless is the name of one, and then
God,
winning.
I have not read that.
Bro. Like,
good stuff, huh?
If you want to figure out like how Michael got into the mentality, I think he did some stuff with Tom Brady.
Okay.
I'm sure he did some stuff with Kobe. But like the mentality of how Michael clicked it on and was different, like the flu game,
yeah,
and, like all that stuff. Like, he walks through how they navigated that stuff and like just how he was different and like, you know, talk about a guy that's on another level. Like, we don't need to get into the LeBron versus Jordan debate. Like, I piss people off because I'm a big Jordan guy, mainly because of that book. But, like, LeBron's good in his own right. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, the level that Jordan was on was different than everybody else. And he did it before anybody else did. Like, and I'm not saying Mamba wasn't the guy. Like, I enjoyed learning about those guys more than I enjoyed basketball in and of itself. Because they're great leaders. But they had a purpose better than themselves. Like, everybody knows the story about Jordan and getting cut from his middle school basketball team. Right. He was trying to prove somebody wrong. Like, we all have that. We just need to lock into it and figure out how we can fuel our own fire.
Yeah.
Like, that is so minuscule when you think about it, and it made the dude a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, countless other people have been cut from the team, but it's like, why did that click for him?
Yes.
Like, yeah, like you said, we all have that, but well, you got to figure out what the thing in your life is that's going to make you do that, right? Like, That's where people mess. They play the victim mentality, and it's like, well, they cut me or they did that. It's like, well, what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah,
like you've got to put in the steps to build yourself back up. You just got to find what it is that you care about that you're gonna build yourself back up to.
Yeah, well, and then that's the foundational piece of this is everything I'm gonna build everything on. And then the other problem that I think people oftentimes have is they do one of two things: they either just don't set goals at all. Right. Yeah. There's no clear. It's like if I go jump in my truck later and I'm like, hey, I'm just going to drive. Like, I don't have a destination. Right. That's the whole principle. Yeah. Or they set a goal that's outlandish. Like, hey, I mean, I'm going to drive to Antarctica. Like, that cannot happen. Right. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
When I'm doing goal setting with my team or really with anybody, I'm constantly telling them like a goal should be there's certain levels of goals. Right. I can make a goal that I know I can reach. That's the one that's right here at eye level.
Yeah.
I can make that goal that I know I'm probably going to reach if I just push myself. Or I can make that goal that I got to push myself to get it up on the top shelf. That's the goal I want you to set. Mm-hmm. That's that stretch goal. That's the goal that matters, because that's the one that gets you uncomfortable. And that's the goal that we're growing in. Either you're growing or you're dying, baby. And that's the only thing that there is. So, Yeah, that's, I know we've really gone down a tangent here, but like, that's something that I'm super passionate about too. If you need any book recommendations, man, like, I've got a few sitting on the shelf here, but like, I've got more than just those. But Big Mylett guy, I've read a ton. I genuinely have.
78 books in 1 year. That's a lot.
It is.
That's
it
an,
is.
Like, what's that? Almost two every month? Or almost three.
It's actually, because 52.
No, four.
Yeah, it's 52 weeks in a year. So you're almost, yeah. I was averaging like 5 books a month when it was all said and done. It was crazy, man.
I went to chiropractic.
I have a math degree, so, you know, it's cool, man. It's cool. Now I'm a roofer. I think that it's because I started out with a 12 book goal.
Yeah.
And then I like blew it out of the water, and then I was like, okay, now we're gonna let's see where we can take this, and I moved it up, you know, and then
yeah.
I went to 50 books, and that was when I set it in 22. I set 50 books, and then I obviously blew it out of the water.
One thing I'll say too, like, to people is I'm a terrible reader. So like, when I was in school, like, I hardly ever read the book. Like, if I
was that guy too.
I learned it, but I focused on like whatever the professor was saying or whatever PowerPoints they were giving to us, because I'm very good at listening and I'm very good at.
So you're an auditory and a kinesthetic learner.
Yeah.
Or visual.
Yeah, I gotta do it or see it, and I'll do it exactly how they did it the next time. Right.
Yep.
But if I read that in words, it'd probably take me 30 minutes to figure out how to do that. Right. So I forget, there's a motivational like video that had it in, and I don't know where the quote's from, but he said, I'm not good at writing. Like, you complain you're not good about something. He's like, well, because you've never done that before. He's like, I'm not good at reading. Well, it's because you've never done that before. So for me to keep complaining about not being good at reading, it's like, well, maybe I just need to read more and I'll get better.
Yeah, it'll help to strengthen that muscle, you know? Right?
So I guess that's why, like, more of the books have become...
The passion project. The passion.
Yeah, because... And just more of a discipline thing, too, right? Like, it's very easy to just open up your phone, pop up Facebook or Instagram, and just scroll for 30, 40 minutes. You don't even know what happened. And it's like, well, I could have been reading or bettering myself. For those
I could have been reading. I could have been working like, out. I could have been playing with my kids. I mean, there's tons of
others. Yeah, because you look back and you're like, what did I get out of that?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything that I just looked at.
So, yeah, and that's the problem is we get that little spike of dopamine when we're scrolling through our phones. And when I had Melissa on, we were talking about that. I don't remember if it was off camera or not, but like, that is the scariest part for me, like, bringing up kids in this world, because how old are you? You're in your early 30s?
I'll be 30 in September.
Oh, crap, I'm older than you, dude. Not by much. I just turned 30 in January, so, like,
oh, okay.
We're not far off.
Yeah.
Anyways.
94.
That's right, baby. So, we grew up in the generation that, like, yeah, we had the Game Boys, we had the computers, but
we had both.
We still played outside.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like... Every parent's like, I'm not going to make an iPad kid. And then they get a kid. And I'm sure you can relate to this. Like, we're not going to be an iPad parents. And then the kid's crying. And you're like, here, dude, just take this iPad. Watch this fruit video. Like, yeah, it is. But, like, that's the scary part for me. Like, I think we were talking about it on the podcast, was the judgment piece, right? Like, we base everything on how many likes we got on a post on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram. And, like, our kids are subject to that stuff, too. And we have to be careful because you don't want to exclude them from what their friends are doing.
No, and I don't think you can.
Yeah, it's impossible, man, because they're going to get it one way or another. Yeah. It's like when your parents told you, you know, you can't do something, like, you're going to figure out a way to do it, right? So your kids are going to be the same way. And, like, for you to be naive and be like, oh, my kids are better now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't exclude them. So, you know, how do you – that's probably the hard part. Like, how do you make it so that they're healthy with it and that they have a healthy relationship with it? Like, the likes don't matter. Mm-hmm. The YouTube, you know, the likes on Facebook don't matter. The comments on Facebook don't matter. None of that crap matters. It's part of our world. There's nothing we can do about it. It's like the AI thing when people are bitching about that. Like, you can't do anything about it. It's already here.
Right.
But, like, how do you get the kids to go want to go outside? Like, you sound like you got the perfect setup, man. You got a family farm. So, like, it is go outside, right?
But I think kids model after what you do.
Correct.
So if you go home and you sit on your phone, you sit and watch TV, what's your kid going to do?
Yeah.
They learn by the examples that you set. So if you go home and you're outside, you're working on something, you go outside, you work out, you do whatever, you know what I mean? They see you do that. They're like, oh, this is what dad does. I want to do that.
They're sponges, man.
Now, sometimes they'll be like, that's what dad does. I'm going to do the exact opposite of that. Now, there's that. But again, you can have that conversation with them. Like, hey, well, you know, you can have that conversation. But
yeah, setting the proper example.
Setting the example for them is what you need to do. That way they can.
That way they know how to navigate it, and then you can communicate.
And that's a good point. Like, one of my favorite illustrations is the – have you ever heard the story of the drunk father? And they had two sons.
Yes.
Yeah, so just so the audience knows, he had two sons, and one of them grew up to be a doctor, and one of them grew up to be an alcoholic. And when you ask both of them the same question, why are you a doctor? He says, because my father was drunk. And that's why are you drunk? Because my father was drunk. Like, you have to realize that, too. Like, there are ends of the spectrum as well. Yeah. And it just comes back to proper education and just loving on your kids. You know, I had a Navy SEAL tell me one time, you're going to mess up your kids, you just don't know how. And like, so that was the scary part. I'm like, well, yeah, like that is true. But like, we all have traumas in our life that shaped us, especially those developmental ages, because your kids are pretty young, right?
Yeah, 3 and a half. I'll be 2 in March.
Yeah, so they're like in that prime developmental age where they're not going to remember anything as to, like, we can't go back to therapy and unbox this crap. You know what I mean? Because, like, they're not cognitive.
Right.
They're not going to be. I'm not saying your kids are cognitive, but they're not cognitive enough that in 20 years when something's wrong, if something happened, you know, they're not going to be able to unbox that. So you just love on them as much as you can. And, you know, I think the thing that we have an obligation in today's world, as men especially, is to just be a strong dad. You know, our world wants too much to try to demasculine, you know, take the masculinity out of life. And it's like, there's a reason why they have a mother and a father.
Yeah.
And like, just love on them, man. Yeah. Just love on your kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And show them that it's okay to cry. You know, show your boys, because you got two boys, right?
Yeah.
Show them it's okay to cry, man. Tell them it's okay to be in touch with their emotions. Don't tell them to suck it up, you know, rub dirt on it. Like, you know, I'm sure our dads did. And your dad's out, he's a farmer. So I'm sure hey, suck it up, you know? And, we have an opportunity, I think, is the biggest thing, to break generational curses.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's one thing. I mean, people always say, well, kids are different nowadays. You know what I mean? It's like, well, so are parents, right? And parents, just from my general assumption or knowledge of my almost 30 years on life, is you're seeing more and more parents try to be the kid's friend.
Yep. Yep.
The best piece of advice that I got, and I don't even remember who it was from. I think it was actually either Josh Bridges, who's a CrossFitter, or it was Jocko Willink, one of the two. Both are Navy
SEALs. Yeah.
Both are Navy SEALs. What they said is, I have an obligation to be your dad. I can be your friend when you turn 18, but right now I have an obligation to be your dad. So be their dad first, you can be their friend second.
Exactly.
You have to raise them to be respectable in the world. They can hate me all you want until they turn 18, right? Then they'll probably realize that, oh, dad was just trying to make sure I didn't turn out to be
a turd.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's tough so love, it's, man.
Right, right. And like you said, like, everyone's trying to poo-poo that and just put down on the masculine side of it, but you need that. You need the balance, right?
Yeah. And I think masculinity also has emotions in it. I mean, that's why guys are typically the ones to jump to anger first. And that's just the emotion that we've been taught, right? Mm-hmm. So like, if we show our kids that it's okay to love, it's okay to, you know, say I'm sorry, it's okay to do all those other things. I'm not saying that, and that's probably one of my biggest frustrations in the world, is like, that we've taken out the opportunity to discipline our children because we call it a form of abuse. And it's not. It's how kids need to be raised, especially when they're in the developmental ages. Yeah. Hell, I mean, up until the last 4 years, you and I were still in developmental ages, if you really know how the human body works. For men, we take a lot longer to get, you know, to get ripe.
But 25.
Yeah, 25, 26, right? So, like, we needed our ass beat a little bit this time, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that, you know, smacking around a 2 or 3 year old is one thing, but like,
yeah,
man, if they pipe off, like, there's an opportunity. You have an obligation, really. It's not an opportunity. You have an obligation to make sure that they're respectful to you, so they respect the rest of the world.
Right.
You know, and yeah, maybe the iron fist isn't the answer, but also don't just brush it off and say, no, that's okay. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not okay, because they're going to grow up to be crappy people.
Well, if they're willing to disrespect you, what are they going to do to everyone else in the world?
Yeah.
They love you more than anyone else in the world. So when their teacher tells them to do something, they're not going to listen to them. When their boss tells them to do something, they're not going to listen to them. So you just need to have them respect you so they can respect everyone else and they can respect themselves.
Respect for themselves is the biggest thing. And that's probably the biggest thing I struggled with when I found out we were having a girl. It's like, dude, I'm the oldest of 4 boys and a little girl. And so like, I was like, man, I don't really know if I know how to raise a daughter. You know, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, that's the key, right? Is just respect. Teaching them how to respect themselves enough so that, and love on them. Like, love on, like, I got a friend, Eric Obrimt. He is the idolization of how to treat your daughters. Like he does daddy daughter Sunday where he takes his daughter to ice cream every Sunday and just takes her on dates. And like, you know, you will be, you are who your sons will become and who your daughters will marry. That's goes back to that example thing. Right.
Yeah.
And if you realize that, then you're like, oh shit, I'm doing the wrong thing. And am I going to lead my kids down the right path?
Yeah.
Because the biggest failure we have as parents is that if we decide to go out, if our kids become crappy people, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Right?
Right.
Because I'm not saying that, like, there's not the off chance that your kid has a hormonal imbalance, that they become something that they shouldn't
sure.
be.
Sure.
However, for the most part, we have an obligation as parents in general, mothers and dads, and to raise our kids right
yeah.
and become productive members of society. And if they're not, then it's a reflection on us. Mm-hmm. I think it's where people have dropped the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't think about it until it's too late.
Yeah.
And then they're just full of regret.
Yeah.
And then you got to pray that kid breaks the cycle.
You
know?
True.
So, cool, man. That's a good topic in general. It's just like, I think it's something that's not talked about enough, you know, and our generation hasn't been, you know, my parents had me when they were in their 20s. Well, they were both 20 when they had me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they were young parents, and I didn't want that. So, that's, like, why I waited till I'm 30. And I had to find the right person. You know, I didn't want a split household or anything like that. But, like, our generation has done a good job of taking their time
yeah.
to have their kids, for the most part.
I would agree with that.
Better than the generations previous. And, you know, we still have an obligation to talk about how to be proper parents, too. Because maybe we didn't get a good example at home, or maybe we don't know what the right thing is. And like, man, I'm still learning. Like, it's the same way I develop my business. Like, I look at good parents, I look at bad parents, and I'm like, all right, I like what they're doing, I don't like what they're doing, and I merge it together to make my own Franken parent, right? So yeah. That's just kind of how to go about life.
Yeah, I mean, there's no playbook for parenting.
Every kid's different, man.
Every kid's different, every situation is different. There's no playbook.
Yeah, because if you get in the psychology of it, man, like just birth order alone changes how to raise that particular child.
Yeah.
You know, in and of itself. Then you go into whether it's a boy or a girl and all that other crap that goes along with it. And like, it's scary. It really is, man. Because the hospital's just like, hey, man, here's your baby.
Good luck.
Yeah. So, I'd like to open up the last few minutes here. If there's anything else that we didn't talk about that you would like to share, the floor is yours. And anything else that, you know, you'd like to throw out with for the podcast here.
Well, you said you're going to do 75 hard. Why are you going to do 75 hard?
That's a good question, man. It's a lot of why I want to do it myself, or I want to prove it to myself type of thing, right? My physical health has been the one area in my life that I've struggled with. I have, it is an excuse, but I've told myself I have a genetic disposition to be a larger dude, and I do. Like, there are people that have slower metabolisms, but it's also my eating habits. So, really just kind of focusing in on getting all that right. I'm not drinking alcohol this entire year, my entire 30th year. It's just a decision I made. And so that's already in place. I've already been drinking the gallon of water. The two workouts a day are really going to be my big obstacle, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
That's the one. Like, and it's not so much that, like, I don't think that I can focus on it and get it done. It's a matter of when the days are busy and life's hectic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make up shitty excuses as to why not to do it. So it's really just to prove it to myself and, like, give myself that hard reset so that when my daughter is here, when Lainey's here, I can be the best dad, best version of myself that I could possibly be. And then obviously habits stem from doing something like that. I did, you know what the Murph is because you're a CrossFit guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did 30 days of Murph. And I was I got down into 235.
In a row?
30 days every day. There's a group of about 25 of us that did it.
Intense.
Do you know who Graham Desert is? Mm-hmm. He did 365 days of Murph.
Okay.
I've
heard about that guy. Yeah.
So he's in CrossFit. He's in all the CrossFit magazines. We all met him. He fell short of his goal on the fundraising. So a bunch of us got together. We're like, hey, let's do 30 days. We did, we called it Murph 30.
Yeah.
And we did it in May. And I did them all over the country. And everybody's like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, yeah, me either. Because it was miserable. I remember waking up one morning, and it was right after my wife and I started dating. And I woke up, and the inside of my arm, like, I started to feel parts of my body that I, like, the basic stuff hit, like, hurt, right? Like, the quads, the traps,
sure.
Like, the stuff that I was normal, But there's a tendon in here. I'm sure you can tell me what it is, or some kind of a muscle.
Probably your bicep.
Yeah, it was probably the base of the bicep.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at my wife, my now wife, and I was like, what the hell did you do to me? Because, like, she was sleeping on my arm.
Okay.
And I was like, what did you do? And she's like, what? And I'm like, I don't know what you did, but my arm freaking hurts. And, like, I couldn't hardly move it. And then I didn't think to move this arm. And then I moved it, and I was like, oh, never mind. It's just something I'm dealing with for Murph. You know, so, but, yeah, so that's what it really comes down to, man. Like, I'm doing the reading stuff. I'm really diving into my Bible this year and honing in on that. So
what diet are you going to do?
That's the one I'm struggling with, and I may need your guidance there a little bit, because I've heard from the diehards that intermittent fasting isn't acceptable. But that's what I've been training myself for it, just because it's easier. With my lifestyle, it's harder for me to do the meal prepping. And it's not impossible, because I know guys travel a hell of a lot more than I do. Mm-hmm. They bring their chicken and rice on planes and all that good stuff. But I may need some help with that, just because, you know, you got the knowledge off camera. But the intermittent fasting was kind of where I was set at. But then as I did some more digging, even they say that macros are acceptable according to what Andy says. So I'd like to stay as true fast to it as I can. If that's the one thing that I have to compromise on, per se, then that is what it is. Especially with my wife going to be, you know, at the end of the pregnancy. So the meal prep, she's the one that cooks in our house. It's going to be harder for her to do the meal prepping and stuff for me. Yeah. And it'll just be easier for me to just eat what I can eat when I can eat it. And naturally we've just been healthier in general, but yeah, that's the one that, that's the one that I've thought about, but I really need to focus in on here as we turn the corner going into March.
Protein.
Yeah.
The biggest factor.
Yeah. And that's what everybody says, right? You get as close to your body weight and protein and grams and as possible. And
and you can look at any diet you want to. As long as you get in enough protein, you're going to heal up enough that you're going to be able to go through the next day. And you'll be full.
Yeah. I mean, that's
where some people go, if they eat a lot of carbs, you're like, oh, I can't eat a lot of carbs. Or, oh, I go high fat. It's like, well, as long as you have that protein macro dialed in.
That's the only macro that really matters.
You can pretty much eat whatever else you want to a certain extent.
Because that's a kickstart your metabolism,
you still
right?
have to be in a caloric deficit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty much what controls your metabolism, as I'm finding out. And I have a pretty high protein diet. Like I said, it's just I do have – my mom's side especially is heavier set just biologically. And I know a lot of it comes down to diet and culture and all that good stuff too. Mm-hmm. But, like, there is a fat gene. Like, Andy talks about it all the time. He has every one of them. Like, he has every fat gene. That's why he was 350 pounds before he hit 75 hard. So that's a lie I tell myself. And that's the other thing I was going to get down I'm 262 this morning. And everybody's like, you don't look 262. And I'm like, that's great. That's not a compliment, though. Like, I need to be less fat. Like, my joints are made for the weight that I am. Yeah. So, we're working on it, man. You know, we'll get there. And I'll probably shoot a few podcasts through it. And I'll be talking about how miserable I am. The gallon of water is the one that everybody tends to bitch about. I get that down before noon.
That's easy.
Like, you just start your day with it. Yeah. And just get it done. You know?
Those are the easiest ones for me.
Yeah. The work, the finding the figuring out the, and I just need to set the time. Like, I need to say, hey, this is the schedule. Don't bother me during these times. Don't set anything for these times. And these are the two times I work out. So, but cool, man. Well, I appreciate you for coming on. Go ahead.
So when we were talking about, like, the kids are always going to find a way to do something different, right?
Yeah.
If you say not to do that, they're going to find something to do different. I guess where I kind of differentiate myself from, I guess, most chiropractors, like, they're going to come in, they say, oh, I hurt myself deadlifting or I hurt myself squatting. What's the most common response you're going to get from a doctor?
I don't know. I really don't.
Don't do it again.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't do that. We have to deadlift. We have to squat throughout life, right? You're talking about having a kid. How are you going to pick her up?
Yeah. It's a deadlift.
Squat.
It's a deadlift. Yeah.
Those are the two things. You're going to have to put anything in the cupboard up above your head ever again?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. So you have to be able to have full range of motion of that shoulder, right? You can't tell people not to do something just because they hurt themselves doing that. So, and then it goes along the lines of sports. Like one of my favorite clientele to treat is athletes, right? Because they want to get better and they want to get back to doing that specific sport. So they can come in and I can be like, hey, you're going to have to take a little bit of time off or this and that. And they're just going to go do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
I can tell them to take the time off. They're going to do it anyway. So I say, you know your body. If it hurts,
stop doing it.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
We'll modify what we need to modify to get you to that certain point, and then we can pick back up and build you back up even stronger than where you were at.
And I think that people can appreciate that just from the aspect of an athlete, right? Like, because I know I was the same way, man. Like,
I was an athlete.
Yeah, I didn't want to not. I didn't want to not, you know. I don't. Nobody wants to sit on the sidelines while everybody else is doing shit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's cool, man. Like I said, I need to come get checked out for sure, just to make sure everything's good. Because I live with pain. Like, it is what it is. And that's the other thing that I think people oftentimes don't realize is they have the pain, you know, and they just live with it.
Yeah.
And it becomes our norm. And then
you don't have to live.
Yeah. Let's remove it. And then it's like a weight lifted off your shoulders once you don't have it anymore. Yeah. You know, but it's just become the norm and it just is what it is. You know, and that's it. So I really do appreciate our conversation, man. I think this has been super beneficial to our audience. And I think folks are really going to gravitate towards this stuff. Just because it was a hot topic here, if anyone wants to reach out to you, do you want to just, I don't usually let this happen, but I'll let it happen. You want to just kind of give the details on how they find you so that maybe somebody can pop in the office to check things out?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I work at Sandusky Wellness Center. Our website is SanduskyWellnessCenter.com. I mean, if you Google it, we'll be there. We're on the corner of Columbus and Straub and Sandusky. We're catty corner to the Ohio Veterans Home across from the BP station. That's my Sandusky office. If you're looking to go more of the cash route, I'm in Norwalk. I'm located inside the Extreme Fitness building. So those are the two spots where I'm at. Again, you can call us, email us,
whatever. Cool, and then we'll drop your links in the show notes here as well, so that way folks can find that way. And I really do appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a really good conversation, and like I said, it's funny how God works, because like I'm not like down that fitness journey. Like, we've been doing it for pretty much my whole life, but like I'm reactivating it. So it's super cool to have a conversation with you about that.
Absolutely.
You know, as you do your book journey, that was something
that
was
super good help for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean on you, man. I'm gonna lean on you. So, but thank you all for tuning in. I wanna just thank everybody for checking us out here. Continue to tune in these episodes, guys. They're really, really beneficial to you guys, and we want to hear your feedback. If there's anything you want to drop in the comments, let us know. But tune in to our next episode here. If you know anybody that would be great for the why, make sure they reach out to us. And as always, continue to ask yourself, what's your why?